This podcast is part of Heal at Home Moms. Erin and I are two doctors of physical therapy, and we created this online program of exercise and education to help moms know how to heal their own bodies after they have a baby. So you can learn more at healathomemoms.com, and you can save 30% on the program with the discount code MOMCAST30. That's MOMCAST30, all caps. Welcome to Heal at Home Moms. I'm Jenna Bice.
And this is Erin Schinkel.
And we have with us Dr. Rachel McLaughlin. So Rachel, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So I wanted to kind of learn a little bit more about what women's health medicine, you know, in birth and delivery, but even statistics, like what that stuff looks like for you guys in Burundi, Africa.
Okay. Yeah, sure. So first of all, for people who don't know where Burundi is, which is probably most people, it's a very small country in East Africa. It's kind of sandwiched in between Congo and Rwanda and Tanzania, so that east central region of Africa. And my family's been here since 2013, working at a small rural hospital. And Burundi has about 10,000 people and has one of the highest fertility rates in the world. Actually, the average woman will have 6 to 7 pregnancies in the course of her lifetime, which is pretty significant too. If you also consider there's, you know, a group of women who struggle with infertility. So that means if 6 to 7 is the average, I do see quite a number of women who are on pregnancy number 10, 11, 12, like
oh
that.
My goodness.
So,
That feels crazy to me.
Well, can you imagine having 12 children?
I cannot. I can't imagine. Having them in my house would be one thing, but also going through like pregnancy for me
was
so hard. I can't imagine going through that multiple times.
Well, I mean, like,
that many multiple
pregnancy is different for everybody, but you know, and I've had patients who have had 10 children, and and it's amazing to me. I'll have one lady who's had one birth and a whole bunch of things have happened and she's having a whole bunch of trouble. And then I've had the lady who has 10 births and she's like, just when I do jumping
so
jacks.
Bad.
Yeah.
It is.
And she's perfectly, I mean, she just needs a little bit of education to help her with the leakage. And that was it.
Yep. And probably part of the reason she was willing to have 10 children.
Because it wasn't so bad.
No, but there's a lot of high, like multiple births.
Yeah, for sure. Job security for me here. I'm not worried that I'm going to work myself out of a job anytime soon. I went into OB because I loved the idea of being present at births and also helping women who are more or less healthy, like normal healthy women, getting through this kind of sentinel event, sort of a critical time, and then moving on to continue to be a healthy woman. And so I think that is kind of magnified a lot of times here in Burundi because women go through so many pregnancies and they really have so little access to care that pregnancy is actually a really dangerous time for people. I don't think we necessarily think about it that way in the US of all of the things that take place because it is a normal physiologic process and most of the time things go well. But when complications arise, we have a whole healthcare system in place to identify things and then also to help these women. And so here in Burundi, there is free care provided to every pregnant woman, which I think is fantastic because then she can come to the health center, she can come to the hospital for her deliveries and for her C-sections and doesn't have to worry about paying for that aspect of her care.
That's awesome.
But at the same time, the healthcare system is not set up in such a way to really support women who are very sick. And so maybe there isn't access to care. So she lives too far away from a health center to get close. There's a lot of sometimes resistance from family members, like her mother or mother-in-law said, I had all of my babies at home. Why do you have to go into the hospital? Things like that. Yeah, or, they're just, by the time she gets to the hospital, there's not a doctor there, or the nurses aren't trained to deal with the complications that she has. The medications she needs are out of stock. Mm-hmm. The operating room is closed, or the equipment's not sterile. Like, there's so many problems.
I know you guys lose electricity a lot too.
Mountains beyond mountains, we say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aww. The electricity goes out. I've done C-sections by flashlight here.
Oh, wow.
The power's gone out. So just kind of crazy things.
Resourceful.
That you would never see in the States.
Oh, my goodness. Well, and two, you did talk about previously about the ability to get there. And like, if they do have the pressure to deliver at home, because I feel like there is like that movement even here that, mm-hmm. you know, oh, it's natural. You should just do everything at home, things like that, which, I mean, mm-hmm. per choice, everybody has their own mm-hmm. and what's safe for them. It may not be safe for another person, but that pressure to deliver at home, but there is not, like, if something does go wrong, which is just fascinating, that there is not a whole lot they can do to get to you. And that's mm-hmm. where the mortality rate kind of comes in a little bit more.
And understanding too that a home birth in the US is very different than a home birth in Burundi.
Mm-hmm. I say
there's not going to be a midwife mm-hmm. at your house. The floors are oftentimes made of dirt. Mm-hmm. There's no running water. There's no electricity. So conditions are very unhygienic. Mm-hmm. And maybe somebody will have like a knife to cut the umbilical cord, but mm-hmm. that's probably not going to be like sterile.
Arrested,
So it's just like, it's very different. Nothing even close to home births.
A lot of my friends have had home births here, and I mean, they have everything pre-set up, everything sterilized, tons of support. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very close to a hospital if needed. It's just completely different.
Right.
Though I'm a perfect example of someone who never would have considered a home birth for myself, because I know I have medical complications that show up during delivery. But yeah, I mean, I can't imagine that situation. Like you said, it's very different than it is in America. And I'll go ahead and brag on Rachel for a second. Rachel also, because we're talking a lot about the need for C-sections in Burundi, or, you know, medical assistance. Rachel, like, walked up the hill to the hospital, did a natural birth, walked back down the hill back to in her house. Was it the same day, Rachel?
My second son, Ben, was born while we were in Kenya. And we were working at a hospital there, and I went up to the hospital at about 2:30 in the morning, but then decided I'd rather be in my own bed. And so after he was born, we were home by about 5:00, but my host was very close to the hospital.
Yeah, so it wasn't,
and he wasn't my first. I could not have walked after the delivery of my first. So.
But I'm just saying that, like, I mean, I know, I was like, dang,
that's like, but that's a real woman right there.
Like, I know, when I heard that, I was like, yeah, she was made to live in Africa, I think. But yeah, I mean, so just all that, I think that's just a nice example and reminder that, like, I mean, you're all for empowering women to do as natural as possible. It's just that in the situation that you guys are working in, that's often not
the best.
It's not the best or safe option mm-hmm. for them.
Yeah. So, for example, I'm just thinking about talking more about C-sections. In the States, I think our C-section rate is about 25 or 30%. And there's been a lot of talk about how to decrease that.
Yes.
How can we help women to have more natural deliveries? And the World Health Organization has recommended that every country shoot for a number about 10 to 15%. Mm. That means basically that if 15% of women are delivering by C-section, that means you're not doing unnecessary C-sections. But at the same time, women who need a C-section will have access to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so here in Burundi, that number is about 5 or 6%. So what that means is
not
enough women who actually are needing C-sections are actually getting them. We're pretty understaffed and overwhelmed with the work mm-hmm. that we do have at the hospital. And on the blog that I wrote about some of our projects, I mentioned this concept of how you spend all day like pulling drowning people out of the river mm-hmm. and you don't have time to walk upstream and figure out why there's so many people in the river that are drowning. Mm-hmm. And so public health is really a way of walking up the river and figuring out, oh, maybe there's no bridge. Maybe people are jumping in, whatever it is, you know, that's mm-hmm. kind of an analogy, but what is causing this problem? And so I do think that we can only do so much on a hospital mm-hmm. level, but if we can get people out into the communities, educating women about the importance of delivering at a health center or a hospital, when to come into the hospital, and mm-hmm. also that they will be well treated. Some of that is education of nurses and health professionals as well. Like, you know, not yelling at women, not treating them kindly in such a way that they would be inspired to come back again and tell their neighbors to also deliver at the health center because it was a positive
experience.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that we would love to be doing more education in the communities. And I hope that's something that we can start in the next 5 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. We're just in the process still of putting out fires and pulling drowning people out of the river. The river, but that's definitely.
Yeah.
That's,
so to do that, you need more people. Long-term goal. Yeah. You need more people.
Yeah. Manpower and resources. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many people are in your staff right now, Rachel? Hmm? How many people are in your staff?
So our hospital has, we've got about 10 American physicians. We've got another probably 24 Burundian doctors, some of whom are in training programs at our hospital. And then I think we have around 60 or 70 nurses. So the hospital has grown quite a bit. When we showed up in 2013, there were only 2 or 3 doctors at the hospital. Mm. And so it's exciting to see the hospital growing because it really does provide care for a large portion of the country. And
wonderful.
Yeah, and every day we're getting people from kind of all reaches of the country of Burundi who are coming in to access care. So it's nice to see that we can provide good health for people. It's just hard because it overwhelms a system mm-hmm. where we really, even though we're so much bigger than we were 6 or 7 years ago, we can continue to need more.
And it sounds and like the word is getting out if they're coming from all regions.
I can't imagine. That's a lot to manage. Mm-hmm. And I know that you guys, other than being, the physicians and training
others
locally, mm-hmm. which I think is wonderful. That's part of what makes this sustainable, right? So between educating people to be physicians and treating mm-hmm. and then running a hospital, that's I can understand why that's a bit overwhelming.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. And our heart, the reason we came was really to do education. Mm. And part of that, as clinical educators, I think we all understand that education sometimes happens by doing and showing. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that we're treating patients is, of course, incredibly important, but our heart and our focus would be not just on treating patients, but on training our colleagues to be able to do the same. And so that's why we work really closely with the university. We've graduated close to 300 new doctors in the country since starting work here.
Isn't that and awesome?
Once we showed up, there were only 300 doctors in the whole country back in 2010. Wow. And so the number has just doubled. And so it is nice on the hard, frustrating days where it feels like there's just not enough of us. There will always be more work to do. It's mm-hmm. really fantastic to remember that the workforce is really doubling and we're enabling
to help Burundian
physicians to care for their fellow citizens. So yeah. I think that's really great.
I can't imagine that. So if you guys have doubled the number of doctors in the country and then you guys are all overworked and overwhelmed right now, it's like, think of how many more people are being helped
mm-hmm. than previously. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, that already, I have to say, if you guys are already helping, you know, say twice the number of people, it's, I mean, mm-hmm. easy, right? That's like a low number, I'm sure. But, education and awareness must be happening.
Absolutely.
Or you wouldn't have those mm-hmm. people coming in. So that's fantastic.
So whether or not you feel mm-hmm. like you're educating, like you definitely are educating, like that's huge. Yeah. Because you may not be doing it personally, going out to the community, but it's getting out there. And that's amazing.
Right.
Thank you for sharing, Rachel.
Just in awe of everything you're doing. So, you know, just know you have fans over here.
Guys, come on out and visit anytime. And bring your program. And you can help all of these grand multiparous women with their pelvic floor prolapse.
Yeah, girl. Thanks so much for listening. If you have any physical therapy questions for us, find us on Facebook or Instagram. Feel free to send us messages or also visit us at healathomemoms.com. And we'll see you next time.